Day 57.
Help is fine.
The Torah allows us only to protect ourselves on the possibility that the information is accurate. Never does the Torah give us a person the right to use such information to act against the subject or to cause him monetary loss. Right? And therefore, one cannot use the report as an excuse to cancel any obligations towards that person. Now, we give an example. Let's say a person with an established reputation of being poor is circulating the shul, collecting tzedakah for himself. Your neighbor turns to you and says, "Hey, he's really a faker. I think he makes more money than we do." Chavetz Chaim says, if you decide not to give this man any money without investigation, or to give him less, you are in the category of someone who believes Lashon Hara. Because until this man is proven to be a fraud, you have to give him the original status of a poor upstanding Jew, and treat him as such. Now, Chavetz Chaim also deals with this situation where the listener has transgressed by accepting Lashon Hara as fact. Now, how can he do tshuva to rectify his sin? One, he should strengthen himself to uproot this information from his mind. Two, he should accept upon himself to be careful in the future, not to accept Lashon Hara. Three, he should confess his sin before Hashem. The last two of these steps are common in the tshuva process, but to uproot the information from a person's mind seems pretty difficult. Rav Pam Zatal explained how it could be done. He said we must immerse our hearts in the mitzvah of judging people favorably. If you were the subject caused hurt to your friend, tell yourself, "I'm sure it didn't happen exactly as reported. But perhaps he's going through a rough time, it'll be much easier." Basically, by giving the subject the benefit of the doubt, it'll be much easier to not to accept negative information heard about somebody. Even if we already heard the Lashon Hara, we could uproot it from our mind, even though we don't actually have to uproot that the story was true, we could uproot the reasoning behind the story from our mind. We thought that this person did something wrong. It could be he did something wrong. But if I could give him the benefit of the doubt, try to figure out reason why to give him the benefit of the doubt, and thereby uprooting the Lashon Hara from my mind. That's day 57.
Second. Day 57.
Help is fine.
The Torah allows us only to protect ourselves on the possibility that the information is accurate. Never does the Torah give us a person the right to use such information to act against the subject or to cause him monetary loss. Right? And therefore, one cannot use the report as an excuse to cancel any obligations towards that person. Now, we give an example. Let's say a person with an established reputation of being poor is circulating the shul, collecting tzedakah for himself. Your neighbor turns to you and says, "Hey, he's really a faker. I think he makes more money than we do." Chavetz Chaim says, if you decide not to give this man any money without investigation, or to give him less, you are in the category of someone who believes Lashon Hara. Because until this man is proven to be a fraud, you have to give him the original status of a poor upstanding Jew, and treat him as such. Now, Chavetz Chaim also deals with this situation where the listener has transgressed by accepting Lashon Hara as fact. Now, how can he do tshuva to rectify his sin? One, he should strengthen himself to uproot this information from his mind. Two, he should accept upon himself to be careful in the future, not to accept Lashon Hara. Three, he should confess his sin before Hashem. The last two of these steps are common in the tshuva process, but to uproot the information from a person's mind seems pretty difficult. Rav Pam Zatal explained how it can be done. He said we must immerse our hearts in the mitzvah of judging people favorably. If you were the subject caused hurt to your friend, tell yourself, "I'm sure it didn't happen exactly as reported. But perhaps he's going through a rough time, it'll be much easier." Basically, by giving the subject the benefit of the doubt, it'll be much easier to not to accept negative information heard about somebody. Even if we already heard the Lashon Hara, we could uproot it from our mind, even though we don't actually have to uproot that the story was true, we could uproot the reasoning behind the story from our mind. We thought that this person did something wrong. It could be he did something wrong. But if I could give him the benefit of the doubt, try to figure out reason why to give him the benefit of the doubt, and thereby uprooting the Lashon Hara from my mind. That's day 57.
Second.
So holding by day 58. So we can't jump to conclusions. Meaning, for example, let's say Reuven tells me in front of Shimon how Shimon cheated on his taxes. And Shimon sits there quietly. He doesn't say anything. Right? Could I take that and understand from that that if the information is true? We usually have a rule that when someone is silenced, that's admitting it, right? So can we assume Shimon's silence is an admittance that he really did this thing wrong and I can accept it as fact or not? Because Chazal said we can't. It's not a good reason. Why? Because the fact that Shimon is silent on being degraded, he could have been quiet for a few reasons. One reason could be he didn't want to make a fight. He didn't want to start a fight. He wants to have Shalom. That's one reason. Yeah. Another possibility is that there's a Gemara that says that those who suffer insult and do not insult in response, they hear the disgrace but do not reply. They form God's love out of will, and they're happy in suffering. To them, the pasuk says, "They who love Him shall be as a son goes forth with its might." Meaning that one who bears insult in silence will not be diminished because of this, while his antagonist will be humbled in the end. So, therefore, the Torah demands us never to jump to conclusions, even when matters seem as clean as day, seem as clear as day. The case of one who is silent in the face of insult is an excellent illustration of this truth. Oh, that's day 58.
Okay, so 69?
Day 59.
Of
Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim is another reason why we should not believe Lashon Hara, which is said in our presence. Again, Reuben says in front of Shimon, Shimon cheated on his taxes. And Shimon is silent, he doesn't say anything. So why should I not believe? It seems that I should believe Shimon. I should believe Reuben. Chafetz Chaim is like this. Reuben just did an Isser of L'Osei Lech Rachel Ba'amecha. Do not go to the peddler. So he's acting as a Russian. Shimon has the status of a kosher Jew, right? So it doesn't make sense to me to believe Reuven, who right now is acting like a Russian, against an upstanding Jew who has a good status of a good person. Shimon's a good person. That's another reason not to accept the Lashon Hara. Now the Chafetz Chaim said another halacha. Let's say there's a rumor that circulates in a city that a Jew committed a certain crime. Then one is not allowed to believe it.
Say that over again.
If a rumor circulates in a city that a Jew committed a crime, one is not allowed to believe it. This applies to also reports in newspapers and other media sources. In this case, too, of course, if the information is relevant to construct the purpose, one should proceed with the appropriate caution. However, there are instances which one may believe negative reports. When abundance of reports regarding a certain person circulate over a period of time, telling a very simple act which he committed to the point where he's no longer viewed as an observant Jew, then it would be permissible to believe the reports. As the Chafetz Chaim puts it, we are not required to think that the community has made a mistake again and again regarding the same individual. On day 59. Now we're starting from the top of Yud Aleph on page 11b.
Ma'akos.
Hashem, Ma'akos, we're trying to get to the Mishnah now. With Hashem's help, Hanan is here today.
Yes, I can do it 15 minutes to get it.
Fine, it's all good. Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rav. So try to make a little bit of a move. Try to get to the Mishnah this week. See, so I want to review from Mishnah to Mishnah over Shabbos. You have what to do. I don't want to be bored over Shabbos. You can review the Mishnah, whoever wants. Because the Gemara says, whoever learns and doesn't review, it's like planting without reaping. Which means the most important thing is to review. It's hard. It's harder to review that. Chazal, it's harder to review than to learn. But if you want, you can fast. Fine, let's see this Gemara. Try to move a little bit, try to really get to this mission now. Hashem saw. Amar Rehuda, Amar Rav. Nidoy Alknai, Tzarech Afar. Yeah, okay, you're ready to make Hashem's name great, you want to make Hashem's name great. Says, if someone is excommunicated Alknai, even on condition, it still needs to be nullified. It still needs a nullification. We know, where do we know this from? Where do we see it in the Pesach? From Yehuda. Yechsev, because the Pesach says, whatever, when Yehuda was trying to convince Yaakov Avinu to bring Binyamin down to Mitzrayim. And he told him, if I don't bring him back, then I will be excommunicated. Correct? That's what he told him. If you look at the other fancy Gemara, you can look in the pasuk on the side. Or Fred, you have your Gemara specific on the side? No, what type of Gemara you have. Depends on the type of Gemara you have.
Is it in here?
You have on Shemir on the right side.
I can't see it.
Okay, pasuk. Im. Anyway, we're going to read the full pasuk now from Brachos Mem Gimel Tes. I'm not sure if your Gemara has a pasukim on the side. Only the new edition, fancy Gemara. Yeah. Anochi Erevenu. What does the pasuk say? Anochi Erevenu Miyadi. Tevakshenu Imloi Havi Eisem Elecha. If I do not bring Binyamin to you, Vitzagdev Ufanecha, V'chatazi Elecha, I have sinned to you, Kol Hayamim, all my days.
Okay. I know. I'm sorry. Now I found it.
Oh, you found it. Oh, Baruch Hashem.
Can
So to say, it should be like a collateral for my hand. Meaning, I'm taking responsibility. In English, I'm taking responsibility. It's like, so to speak, you can seek it. If I do not bring him a letter to you, it's like I'll show him to you. Basically, it's like I'm going to bring Binyamin back to you. And then I will have sinned to you all my days. That's what he told him. That's what Yehuda told Yaakov Avinu. If I don't bring back Binyamin, then I will have sinned. Now, what in the world does that mean? I will have sinned to you all my days. Well, he's not a Hashem. What do you mean he sinned to him? So let's see the top Rashi. What do you mean, Chatasi Lecha Kal Yom? What does the top Rashi say? Chatasi Lecha is Lashon Nidoyu. It's a Lashon, it's a terminology of excommunicating itself. Sheyehei Menudeh, he will be excommunicated and pushed away, La'avav to his father. Basically, he's telling him, you don't have to talk to me ever again in your life, which is pretty bad. He's telling him, basically, you never have to talk to me again if I don't bring him back. If I don't bring Binyamin back. Good?
But it's in the state in this world and the world to come.
Oh, that's what I was going to say further. That's what I was going to explain. That's what it means. It means also in this world and he also meant and also in the world to come. That will like mean see more further that he couldn't get into the Olam Haba. So even though it was on tonight, it was on condition, only if I don't bring Binyamin back. And eventually he did bring him back. Still we see, Yehuda's put it, he said, again, obviously we see here, it would really be on condition, he would have fulfilled the condition perfectly, and he shouldn't go to Nidoy, correct?
But he didn't do a positive, he didn't do the double washer of a positive and a negative.
It's not a tonight. I'll say what's that, it's not a, you need a tonight couple. Well, there's a question, you need a tonight couple sometimes. Fine.
Doesn't matter if he fulfilled it,
we're still outstanding doing it, and it's going to come. Maybe they realize it, but here also, it wasn't fulfilled right away. Right? Like the other Gemara is also. Something with Floyd, it wasn't fulfilled right. They didn't bring Binyamin back right away. So it could be also that's why it was still affected.
That's why his bones were still rattling though.
But also, didn't he not bring him back to Canaan, but Yaakov came to Egypt.
No, not for that's for Yosef. For Binyamin, he got Binyamin back.
Oh, right.
To give Binyamin.
No, yeah. So he got him back to Canaan.
So when did Binyamin go missing? What Binyamin? Yeah, Reuben told Yehuda. Yosef Vitalik, he's just like playing around with them. He's messing with them. He told him.
When
he stole the cup. That was after. Yeah, that's when he put one missing. He stole the cup. Good. Fine. So let's see the one further. Let's see the word again. I'm going to read that word out. Nidu al tnai tzarech hafar. Nidu on condition. If you're excommunicated, we're up to. So tzarech hafar and nidu hafar. We know. Where do we know this? From Yehuda. From Yehuda. The chesiv, like it says, imloy havi oisin. I do not bring a lefa to you. The gemara, etc. That's finding whether they even bring the main point to the pasuk. Usually, the gemara brings the main point. The main point to the pasuk was. The Chatasi L'cha Kalayam, right? You see your prayer, why did they bring the main point? You just said, V'gomer. Anybody with me?
But if he did put excommunication ban on him, why didn't Yaakov know it? Since he was his father, and he couldn't have a father and know of his sons.
That's a good question. I don't know. Could be. I don't know. It's a very good question.
I mean, just like the husband didn't know the wife.
So Rabbi Yaakov, this is a good question. Why didn't Yaakov Avinu annul the Nidui? Why do we have to wait for Moshe Rabbeinu to annul the Nidui?
Which Nidui?
That Binyamin put a Nidui on himself. Yehuda put a Nidui on himself. Said, if I don't bring Binyamin back, then I should be a Nidui. You don't have to talk to me. I don't have to go to Alma, but nothing. He had a needle on. He put a needle on himself. The end. Moshe Rabbeinu down things. He got it back. You see the Gemara soon. Moshe Rabbeinu. When we're messed up, we're like a needle. Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik comes and down to us usually.
Do a needle.
We're in needle. We're pretty messed up anyway. You don't have to worry. Every time we do comic verse, we get needle. Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik comes. But that's it.
Maybe
you
do mitzvahs too, and also get Olam
Haba. You can have a bank account, but you can't get into it. Your code account is locked.
Why?
Because you're a needle. If you're a needle, you're a needle. You did a lot of it then. Why? That's what I'll say.
It's free will. It's free choice. It's choice.
Even if a person who did a lot of mitzvahs, like you say, he did a lot of mitzvahs, he's going to get a lot, but he's,
a lot of mitzvahs.
The door is locked, but sometimes the door is locked. You can't get to your thing until someone, maybe some tzaddik comes, and Moshe Rabbeinu came to tell the man.
I mean, it's yours. Why?
Not yours.
Lock it.
You could lock it, because if you do it, we do certain events. It's not yours.
Yeah, I'm just wasting my time doing mitzvahs. Can't get it anyways.
No, I told you, you can get it. If you do tshuva, on Averis we do. And you believe in the tzaddik.
I don't do Averis.
Fine, so it's not talking to me. So people who do Averis that cause nidui, right? If someone does Averis that cause nidui, then.
So if you take a nidui, Moshe
Rabbeinu
absolved
Yehuda
for it, and he's both connected back to the other, so Yaakov
can do it
also.
Oh, that's Yaakov's part. I don't know. So you're asking, why couldn't Yaakov do the Yehuda? That's not so simple. Who does for us, the tzaddik. If we believe in the tzaddik, we have to do our own tshuva. The tzaddik can try to get
more than
that,
the tzaddik that are alive now in our generation.
But mainly the other tzaddik. Pashas could be also, but usually also the bigger tzaddik. All the Moshe Rabbeinu and the people that have the aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu. Any tzaddik who gets to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's that within of Moshe Rabbeinu, they could help.
Tzaddik and the thing that there will never be anyone on the level of
Moshe. Not the level, the aspect of Moshe, not the level, the aspect. Always the top, the Zohar says.
Oh, yeah, come on.
In Nevuah, there's no going to ever be a tzaddik in Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Zohar says every single generation has a tzaddik, the towering tzaddik, who is the aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu. So says the Zohar. Every
who's
single
now?
Generation. Who's now? Nah.
Now, you say from someone who's alive.
We, in Breslau's Kabbalah, we're not going to say the tzaddik comes. Kabbalah,
Breslau.
Tzaddik were called alive, but that this is Zohar says that every generation to be a tzaddik emes could be, it doesn't have to be mamash alive as we understand alive, it could be also a tzaddik that already lived. But also, and then tzaddik now, there is a towering tzaddik in every generation. But basically, the biggest tzaddik is the one who defends us, they're going to help us out. We need Moshe Rabbeinu to get us out of Nidui also, so if you know it's capable.
I know it's here, you just can't get to it. You go up there, it goes
down. We don't know anymore. They used to be able to.
You have to trap it.
No, because if we would, then Moshe Rabbeinu would get it out of Skull. Fine. Anyway, let's try to continue this one. I'll go upon him. Talk about this later.
Okay.
Fine. Guilt trip. Again. Let's go with the third line anymore. Amr Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. See what I'm saying? Amr Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Amr Biyadisa. Now, how do we know this? The Smite of the was a positive say. It's very interesting. It says, Yechiru Uvei Baal Yamas. Ruvich are living out there, right? And at the end of Vizis HaBracha, Moshe Rabbeinu is, giving Musar, to all the Shvatim, giving them Musar and Brachas, and, giving all kinds of, before he died. Was it first he went from Ruvich, said Yechiru Ba'ayam. And then it says Vizis Yehuda. It speaks about Ruvich, and then about Yehuda. Really, if we want to go in order of the birth, it should have said Ruvich, Shimon, Levi. Anyway, if they brought that line, it should have at least, for sure, Levi. It's never happened with Shimon. For sure, Levi should have went before Yehuda. So why is he putting Reuben next to Yehuda? And also, there's another question. It's like, it talks about Reuben, and then it says, Vizaisli Yehuda, Rashi brings that. And this should be for Yehuda. It seems like something you were talking about in Reuben, and this should also go on Yehuda. That's what Rashi says. He says, there's two problems. First of all, why are you saying Reuben and then Yehuda? So you're making a connection between Reuben and Yehuda, right? Just by putting them next to each other. And secondly, why is it Vizai? It's like a continuation. And this should be for you. That's how you start talking about Yehuda. And this should be for Yehuda. And there's always a continuation from the last thing you said. There's something about Reuben. And this about Reuben should continue on to Yehuda. So what in the world the connection, this heavy connection, that was by Reuben that should go for Yehuda? And that thing, Mara Drush, makes a drasha. Kol Isa Mem Shana, all 40 years, Yisrael was in the Midbar. At Meisav Shal Yehuda, the bones of Yehuda, Hayu Migulgal, they were rolling around. Imagine, Ba'ara, they were rolling around in his Ara. His bones did not have any rest.
So they were completely separated from the sockets.
Separated from the sockets, exactly. Ad Ishaamad Meisha, Ubikajil of Rachma, until Meisha stood up and he davened for them, and he begged mercy for him. Right. And you see, also, you could have asked the question, what if Moshe Rabbeinu also? Obviously, he needed his tshuva. Even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it until the end of 40 years. The time for tshuva, that's to say, even the tzaddikim, they can't really help us until a certain time. They can't always help us. See, even Moshe Rabbeinu, like everyone's asking, why did Yaakov Avinu help him? Why did Moshe help him? For some reason, we don't know how it works. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had to wait until the end of 40 years to be misakin it. Correct? 40 years. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu wake up before 40 years? After the first few days, his bones are rolling. For some reason, we don't know how things work. It's even the tzaddik, he can't always do what he wants. You have to wait. Not everybody has a tikkun.
Any more from Rashi?
We're going to 1 second. We'll try to think. Amar lo fani. Why is your man daven in front of Hashem? See, the tzaddik daven for you. The tzaddik daven for you to shevet Yehuda. The Rebbeinu Shalom. Me. Rebbeinu Shalom. Me garav. Who caused the Reuven to yada? Who caused Reuven to admit the guilt that he moved the beds, that he switched around the beds, right? He took his mother's bed and he put it in, and he right he. And then no, he took Yaakov's bed and he moved it into his mother's tent. Who caused him to admit his guilt? Who's his Rebbe for admitting guilt? Who's his Moser Sefer? Yehuda. He learned from Yehuda. And therefore, and look at his bones. So his bones are resting. So precisely Yehuda, this should also be for Yehuda. That Yehuda's bones should also rest. Like it says, Shema Hashem call Yehuda. Like we know the Pasuk says, Hashem listen to the voice of Yehuda, which Chazal say, it's referring to the fact that he admitted his guilt with Tamar. Correct? Mm-hmm. So there's Zivir Chazal, this is more explaining to us more. So we have to know a little bit more information, background. The Zivir Chazal that says, what does the Pasuk mean, Shema Hashem call Yehuda? What's my Shema Rabbeinu Da'ani to Hashem? Hashem hear the voice of Yehuda. Which voice of Yehuda? Chazal say, that's referring to the voice that Yehuda admitted his guilt that right, with his daughter-in-law with Tamar, right?
In front of
Beis Din, he admitted, right? But our Gemara is adding to us. So the other Chazal seem that what stopped him from his woes rolling around? Majorana said Hashem remember that he admitted his guilt, right? Our Gemara is adding. He's saying not only remember he's adding his guilt. Also remember that he's adding his guilt, and also remember that Reuven also there's also a schus that Reuven admitted his guilt because of him. Through his schus that he admitted, Reuven also admitted.
So I understand what was the action that Reuven admitted his guilt?
And he moved the beds. He took Yaakov's bed.
How is that initial guilt by moving the beds?
No, he moved it. That is another incident later that he admitted it. That was the guilt.
It
says here that the Gemara is saying that he admitted it. It doesn't say, I don't think it says the Chumash that he admitted it.
It's not so
openly
available.
That's Chazal teaching us. That's Chazal telling us. Reuven did do tshuva. We know Reuven did tshuva. We know Reuven did tshuva. Yes. Now, Reuven did tshuva.
I'm moving the beds.
Yes, he did tshuva.
It's brought down somewhere by Chazal, somewhere.
So right now we're telling you.
Some source.
No, it says
Shabbos 55b.
It's brought down Reuven admitted it. He says Shabbos 55b. There isn't one that Reuven admitted it. He did.
Now, we're talking about like there's the public acknowledgement, right? But Yehuda, are we saying that Reuven, that Yehuda caused Reuven to do tshuva, or something to
admit
publicly?
Good for even just his father is pretty embarrassing. Even just to tell his father to admit it to the brothers, that's pretty public. Saying even Yehuda's time, who's the whole public was the best they do. So they also obviously Reuven, their family, he admitted to the family, whoever, to his father. That's enough kusha. It's the same concept. The time was very, very hard to admit it. He went and he admitted it, basically. I don't know the whole story. Maybe we could look up the Gemara Shabbos later. He said the Gemara Shabbos. Our story was that the Gemara Shabbos. So our Gemara is saying like this. Yehuda's bones are rolling around. So what was my Shabbos tefillah? Shem, first of all, remember the voice of Yehuda that he admitted. Right? And why? And also, why is my Shabbos connecting Reuven with Yehuda? See, Hashem, and also, remember the fact that Reuven admitted, because he learned from Yehuda how to admit. There's a double schus for him. That's what the Gemara is teaching us. That's the Hanan. So now we understand why we're connecting
Reuven. Obviously it's a schus, but his bones are still rolling. They're in agony for 40 years. What's the miracle?
So Moshe Rabbeinu now is reminding Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu is davening, reminding Hashem, remember, I know right now he's messed up, his bones are rolling around. But remember Hashem, he has a schus. Remember that he has a good merit. That's Tzaddikim can do this. Tzaddikim can bring out our merit. They should pull out, even though we're messed up, they like take a little merit that we have, and they pull it out and say, Hashem, focus on this. They're our lawyers. That's what they do. That's Tzaddikim are. What do you go to a shana? What do you go across the world for a shana for? You need to travel to some crazy place to get a lawyer to defend us. That's Tzaddikim can do. They say, look, they're good over here. They're good over there. They did this good point. Save that. Maybe someone's going to come out of them, a later generation. That's Tzaddikim can defend for us. They're our lawyers. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hashem, look at him. He did a good thing. One time in his life, he admitted that hard story with Yehuda and Tamar. It was embarrassing. Yehuda was a big, he was a Gadol Klal Yisrael. I imagine Gadol Klal Yisrael admits, yes, I did this thing wrong. He was out of his daughter-in-law. It's a hard thing. Imagine, he wasn't some guy. And he admitted it. So what he's saying, first of all, remember that he admitted his guilt. And second of all, remember how Reuven learned how to admit from him. It's also his chos. He did hafatzah.
evil.
Well, it's worse than that. He's saying, yes, I went to a prostitute and got her pregnant.
Nahon, that's Reuben. And not only, but the Gemara, for some reason, this Gemara is saying,
Yehuda,
but this Gemara is saying,
it was evil.
This Gemara is saying, and it's even the bigger schos for him, that also that Yehuda learned, that Reuben learned how to do tshuva from him. Reuben learned how to admit guilt in public because of him. Or you know, learned how to admit guilt. That this Gemara is saying. So, so we see from this Gemara, maybe we think the fact that you do tshuva is one thing. In fact, he also had someone else, he had a schos, someone else learned how to admit from him. It's very big schos. Then his bones stop growing. So now we understand why it says v'zayis liYehuda. Why? Because it says like this: the pasuk Yichi Reuben should live, which means Reuben's bone should stay intact, right? All the bones should stay intact. That's Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha. And just like his bones are intact, v'zayis liYehuda, the shame should be for Yehuda. Now we're trying to understand the flow of the pasuk.
What happened to his bones?
His bones were rolling around. They weren't settled. It was a big
they were loose bones.
And it's a very big tar for the shaman when the bones are loose. Feel it, you feel it all after all. So you feel the worms eating you. You feel like you die also. Some I don't know how it works. Something feels. So his bones, it's a big tar. It's a big tar. So now I'm going to go through explain the whole pasuk. So far we understand the pasuk, how you understand. So what happened? Let's continue the wire. Then we'll see. Afterwards, you can look at the pasuk. We'll flow the whole pasuk. We'll see how the pasuk flows. Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. So what happened? Let's see the wire further. All Eivari, his Eivari went up L'Shafa, which means to where they were moved from. L'Shafa means to their original place. So Reuben's bones went back to their original place. They reconnected, right? But now that's step one. So now he's out of Nidui in a little bit. He's not really out of Nidui yet. Because now what happened? So now his bones, we know the way it works, is a person's bones and body's not intact, they can't go to Shemayim. They can't get up there yet. Their body's not, you know, a regular Kavurus Yisrael, usually buried properly, at least the bones are probably, their neshama doesn't go up. It gets floated around somewhere. That's you need that very Judas to be buried properly. That's how it works. So now his bones are finally intact. I guess for him it was enough now for his neshama to go to Shemayim. So then all these years, his neshama's floating around, been sorry, stuck in this world, can't go up, not down, it's stuck. Now, what was the problem? Loi hava kama aili, they did not let him enter, they did not enter him, l'mesipta to the yeshiva de rikia, yeshiva and Shemayim. You get to Shemayim, what do? You don't eat and drink over there, you gotta learn Torah, right? Like the Gemara says, there's no eating and drinking. There's learning Torah, that's what you do. There's no eating and drinking. If you don't like learning Torah, you're going to be bored up there. It says that. So what happened if you're in Nidui? If someone's in Nidui, what happens if someone's in Nidui in this world? No one's allowed to eat with him, we're allowed to drink with him. So you go to Shabbat, no one's allowed to learn Torah with you. So don't learn Torah with him. In this world, Nidui is only, you can't eat or drink with him or party with him. But you can learn Torah with him. The next world, that is the eating and drinking. The Torah, that's you do there. So now, he's still in either. They didn't let him, no one wants to learn with him. They're not letting the doors are locked. They're not letting him into the.
So it's the same laws as someone who's in mourning.
Yeah, okay, right. So what the pasuk, next pasuk says further. The El Amot to be Edom. What should be the Davin? Hashem, bring him to his nation. Which means, let him to the base medrash. But now what happened? Even if a person comes to the base medrash, a lot of people come to the base medrash, you still can't learn. It's still hard to learn. He went to the Mishmash, he forgot all his time, he forgot how to learn. So Loi Hava Kol Yada, he did not know the Mishkal or Mitzvah, he didn't know how to give and take. He didn't know how to do Shakal Vatarim. He didn't know how to learn. Met Yehuda, they let him in, he's just sitting there, I don't know what's going on. He got talking and fighting and arguing, I don't know what's going on. Loi Hava Kol Yada, the Mishkal or Mitzvah Kushmaita, Bahadi Rabbon with the other Rabbanon. There's a bunch of rabbis, they're all talking, it's Chinese thing, he doesn't know what they're talking about. So in that much Rabbeinu Davin, Yadav Rabbalai. Give him a lot of hands, which means he should not know how to fight with them. You want to go back and forth with them, right? Like the Gemara said that the learning Torah is like with the hands, because when you learn, you use your hands. We don't like someone svar, use your hands. That's what Farshim say. Because the Gemara that says use your hands. So Moshe dying, give him hands, and you're gonna knock a guy out. Get with the program with his hands. Start saying svar. But what happened? So now he's able to fight with other people, argue with other people. They gave him hands to fight them and tell them your pshat's wrong. What was the problem? Yada, he didn't know the Firuka to answer a question. They asked the question on him, he couldn't answer it. Which means he learned how to fight with them. They say, Pshat, he wouldn't fight their Pshat. But now, what happened? When they asked questions on him, he couldn't answer it. He didn't know how to fight back. So on that much remained with Davin. The Azer and Mitzarfi, he should be a help from his enemies. When they come against him in learning, they ask him questions, he should know how to answer. So this whole possibility, so we see, it's not so easy to know how to learn Torah. First, it's definitely into the yeshiva. Even when you get led into yeshiva, you need Hashem to help us know how to learn. They know how to learn, know how to show people that their pshat's wrong, they know how to help when someone asks on my pshat. There's a lot of steps in learning. You need Latsiyat Tashmai. So we see there's a lot of steps in his knees where you have to get broken down. Much Rabbeinu to keep diving, help him. Much Rabbeinu, everything's a tefillah, Much Rabbeinu to help him get out of his
knees. So he had to go up, what, 4 levels?
First, he had to get up to Shmai. Then he had to know how to learn. Then he had to know how to argue with them. Then you have to know how to answer back his questions.
Right, four levels.
Four levels you have to get, yes, there's like 4 steps in getting out of his nidur. To the heavy nidur. It's not simple to be excommunicated. So it's like, he could, so it took him, but Moshe Rabbeinu kept diving for him. Instead, the Tali keeps diving for us. We get another step, he keeps a 9. Let him go further, help him go up, help him go up more. Instead, we need the Tali to help us. Now, keep it first, the Tali helps come to the base matters. Now, he needs to know how we learn. He needs to know how to talk to other people to learn, and how to answer. Everything's a step. He's Yad Tishmai every step. Let's just look inside the puzzle. Whoever fancy Gemara, look at your puzzle on the side for a second in the puzzle. It's nice to you, though. What does the puzzle say? Let's read the puzzle. This is what should be, and this should be proved. Meaning, if you read the puzzle in your Gemara's right before, it says, Yechiru Uven, Ruven should live, but Ayam is not die. Which means his bone should stay intact. He himself is. That's the Vizayis to Yehuda. And Yehuda's bones should also stay intact. By Yomar, the Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shema Hashem, listen to Hashem to the voice of Yehuda. Which meant, listen, remember the voice of Yehuda that he admitted his guilt. And that Reuben did Tshuva because of him. Bring him to his nation, means bring him to the Masif, to the Rekia, let him go into the Beis Medrash in Shemayim. Yadav Rav, like, give him hands to fight with other people on learning. Let it be a help to his enemies. He should know how to answer their questions. So this whole pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu davening for Yehuda the whole time. It's amazing. So Moshe Rabbeinu was fending for Yehuda to get him out of his nidui that he put on himself, which was even on Al Tanai. So far, so good.
Say the last line.
What's the last line?
You said Moshe got him out, and I didn't hear what you last said. That's even on us now.
Yeah, it's tzaddik on us now. Also, it's a tzaddik of doing. The tzaddik fends for us. We're messed up, and we're like in nidui. We do a lot of averes that put us in nidui. The tzaddik, right, tries to help us out, and we need a lot of help. But they keep on helping. That's what tzaddik can do. So Moshe Rabbeinu does. So Moshe Rabbeinu helps Yehuda. That's what tzaddik can do. They help us. That's right. The Zohar said if we didn't have tzaddik, we'd be finished by now. Without the tzaddik fending for us, we'd be done a long time ago. That's what I said. Not the old tzaddik. It says now that Moshe Rabbeinu, if we know where his caver is, he'd ready to bring Mashiach. And have so much rachmanis on us. You go down by his caver, everyone gets a tikkun, we'll have a Mashiach already. That's what they said in the Zohar. Down for us, that's where now they know where his caver is. Hashem has a time for people. Meaning, even the tzaddik, Hashem has, he's not, you know, he's down to certain limitations. But, he helped Yehuda, even Yehuda the Shevet, who's pretty big. Moshe Rabbeinu helped him get into Almah, but helped him get to where he has to get to. I feel we should help us. So let's see rashes. We have a bunch of rashes to see. My dachsiv, we're at the first, the top of our line. My dachsiv, what does it mean when it's written? Yechiru uvein, the gomer, v'zois liyud. So, ma ra'a, I'm doing the recording. Ma ra'a, lismach, Yehuda al Reuben. What did Yehuda, what do we see to put Yehuda next to Reuben? First of all, why are we putting them next to something? First of all. And second of all, Rashi says, Uma'ara'a, what did we see? Lahasil Bebrikas Yehuda, to begin the Brach of Yehuda, Balash with the terminology of Vizaisli Yehuda. And this should be for Yehuda, like a continuation of the last thing. Eller, rather, must be, Lefi Shahayu Atamas. Because all the bones, Kal HaShvatim, of all the Shvatim, Shilda, like their makeup, their limbs, were kind, were existing. where kind of they were standing, they were in place. Michelle Yehuda, but for Yehuda, Migulgal, they were rolling around. Amar Lashon Zeh, Moshe Rabbeinu said this Lashon. Yechiru Uvein, Uvein Shalif Kleimar, Shildon Kayemis, his makeup, his Evarim, his Shildon means his, like his skeleton basically, is Kayem, Shildon is still existing in its proper way. Ki'ilu Uchai, if he's alive, everything's in its proper place. On that Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'zayt, and this also, Yehuda should be for you, Tiel Yehuda. This should also be for Yehuda, Shehev and Gom. Right now they're rolling around. So just like Reuben's bones and all the other Shvatim's bones are existing, their skeleton is existing in the right way, you also Yehuda should, his body should exist in the proper way. Because we know, on Tamas Kol HaShvatim, we know, we're bringing Chazal now. The bones of all the Shvatim went out of its Rahim, correct? You know that? They took all the bones. Every Shehev took their grandfather's bones out of its Rahim. On Tamas Kol HaShvatim Yetz B'Shayim, the Nasim B'Neim, and they were carried by their children by Midrash the Midbar. Like Yosef told his brothers, that at least it's bring up as maysai iza itachem. Bring up my bones from this, from Mitzrayim, with you. Im as mizin, with your bones. Make sure when you go out of Mitzrayim, make sure. So all the Shvatim's bones were taken out.
So no, absolutely no one's buried in Egypt.
Correct.
We're not talking about just the heads of the Shvatim. We're talking about everybody.
It sounds like here from the Shvatim. Here it says, and some is called Shvatim. We mean the Shvatim means like the heads of the Shvatim. Not everything. We know some people were born. We know the other people were buried in the Midbar. We know they used to dig their graves. The Shvatim themselves, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, they themselves were buried. They were taken out of the shrine. That's interesting because today they stay some of them like in Arab places, like not really. I don't know. Maybe they're really close to Israel. You know, they have all the different places where all the Shvatim are buried. Not Aaron Akon, Kafarid Harar, also like in Jordan, but yeah, all the Shvatim themselves got brought somewhere close to Israel. They have these days, and some of them are made up, but they have places officially where the Shvatim are buried. I mean, they've done Menyako, they know officially. A few of them, they know where they're buried. Or they think they know. I don't know. Fine. So now, all the Shvatim's bones were there. So when Reuben is dying, just like Reuben's bones are intact, just like when he was alive, so the Yehuda's bones also should be intact. They should come together. What happened? Oh, Evari L'Shafa, Nichnasu Atzmaisa. They enter their bones, enter L'Makam Chibur to the places to their sockets. Sheshavu, they removed Misham. Sheshavu means Sheshaf Misham. Kamei, like where do we find the word Shaf means move? The Shaf Miduchti got moved from its place. L'Shafa Ishlo is Duru. Fine. So then, Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and he got into the Masechta
Zeruah. What's that last? The left on the Shafa?
So he's bringing like a terminology from French.
Yeah.
Ishlei of Dure, saying it means, oh, sound like the bones went back to their sockets.
So Lishafa, also in that last part.
The Shafa, he's explaining what does Lishafa mean.
Move, we're talking about moving.
Moving, so he's saying Ishlei of Dure, I don't know French, but maybe they say it over here on the side.
So that last part here, so they're not talking about moving, we're talking about Lishafa, that's Lishafa, or that's talking about sockets then?
Meaning, because they explain it really, Lishafa really means that it was moved. But they use this word referring to when you put a bone back in its socket, use this word L'Shafa. That's where bringing an example. Like when you put a bone back in its, I don't know, what you, these days they also have a word for it. No, you put a poor person's, let's say, arm pulled out of their socket, they have a word. They got the word.
Like dislocated?
Like dislocated, so they relocate. Basically, it's like that. They relocate, basically by bone, they have a special word. Basically, it means like they relocate the bone. Like a special word for bone. So their bones were relocated to its sockets. Shav really means it was moved. So all Eivar L'Shavis, the bones went up L'Shavah to where they were moved from. Which means they were relocated. In English, you'd say they're relocated to their sockets. There's no special word for relocating. I'm not a doctor. Maybe there is. Relocating bones to their sockets. I don't know. They have a word. There is a word for it. I forgot the word. There is a word. When a bone gets dislocated, they have a word to put it back. Got the word. Fine. But then what happened? Then he didn't know, he got into the B'sifta Durakia. He didn't know L'mishka L'mitra, Christ at least of L'ite, to carry and to give. He didn't know how to carry, to take, you know, to take a svar, to hear a svar, get back a svar. He didn't know how to understand something, get back, you know. So then, Moshe Rabbeinu davened, Yadav Rablik, should have a lot of pain. Yiba, he should have kayak, should have power, strength, L'rib, to fight. Riva, La'at, he should fight for himself. negative chaver against his friend. He should be able to fight and argue against him. Right? So he said, but then he knew how to fight against them. He didn't know how to answer back. So the Gemara said, Hashem Moshe Ben Adam, Ezer Mitzarefti. He should know how to be Ezer against his Mitzarefti. He should know how to be go against his enemies. He should know how to be a help against his enemies. He should know how to answer them back also. Fine, Baruch Hashem, we'll stop over here. Algor is mock, but he should try to be there at 12 o'clock. He's very yucky. Downstairs at 12. Downstairs of Algor speaking, it's Thursday.
Oh, it's Thursday.
Shkayah, Baruch Hashem. Fred, how's it going?
Okay, that's very good.